Well, there's been a certain date in the calendar in the last week that I'm unfortunately sad to say that I didn't get to share that date with Anna, because unfortunately I have to share Anna with her husband, which is a very sad thing. But Valentine's Day was upon us. So I am currently sat at my table in my kitchen. And Anna, would you like to describe the breakfast that I made for you this morning?
It was epic. It was porridge, but just not any porridge.
Yeah.
It had heart-shaped strawberries, and it had a heart of jam in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was exceptional. And it's in a beautiful black bowl. I've never eaten out of a black bowl before.
I mean, it's blue, but...
Is it? No, that's black.
Yeah. But anyway...
That's black.
Happy Valentine's Day. As we eat heart-shaped porridge oats with jam, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty of not love, but in fact... Heart health. Now there's a teaser for you.
Exactly.
With a bit of jam.
This is super nice porridge.
Forgive us as we start this episode that we're both kind of slurping. In fact, I might just move around and move a bit closer to you.
Oh,
that's okay.
Lovely.
I think we've progressed to that point in our relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, thanks for your comments about managing your mind, not your waistline. We also did Free Food Fest a couple of weeks ago. And today we are tapping into the heart, which is matters close to our heart in more ways than one. So, we're going to be talking about the fact it is Heart Health Month, some of our experiences about heart disease within our family and what we've learnt, and how we think a lot of that links to our diet, really, and what do we have that we can control within our hands of what we do. So yeah, we're just kind of slurping the last bit of our porridge.
Yeah, because this is good for our health, isn't it?
And what's really interesting, actually, just before we get going, is I've made two different versions of porridge and two different versions of coffee, because I've got almond milk in my coffee and coconut milk in my porridge. And then Anna's got
full-on cow's milk,
semi-skim milk, but they look so different.
So different,
the same amount of milkage because we measured them because we're good like that. And I measured
and
my
oats.
Yeah, didn't measure the jam though. Sorry about that.
More flexi.
How many sins is jam?
It depends on the jam, but we've had about three.
It's reduced.
Jams. Oh, we might have only had a couple of sins then.
Okay.
Yeah, we're okay. But yeah, yours is much more solid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like mine's a bit more creamy and milky, but it's really nice with the cinnamon and the smoom. But I just love porridge. It gives you a cuddle in your tummy.
Well, I like thick porridge. You like watery.
Not watery, creamy. Runnier. Watery.
Oh, God. So you're listening to Slim World Podcast. We are sponsored by Slimming World, which means that whilst the last year we've kind of been... doing this just as two people, a member and a consultant, just talking about our passion for Slimming World. And we're actually sponsored by Slimming World now, which is great because they really are helping us, just any kind of information that we need to make sure that the stuff that we bring you as listeners is better informed, it's up to date. We're getting heads up on some of the campaigns that are coming out in the next couple of months.
Getting inside knowledge, aren't we?
Yeah, and we're getting to talk to like really amazing people. A couple of weeks ago, getting to talk to the person who writes the Slimming World books.
Who
basically gets to decide what range of Slimming World food there is with Iceland. Oh, it's like crazy.
That's my dream job. It's my dream job.
Basically would be most of our dream jobs. One of the things that we mentioned to them was that something that's kind of been happening behind the scenes for both of us, particularly for me, I had like a week off. My 1 week that I didn't do the podcast of all of last year in December was because basically there was a family emergency, and so this subject has been quite close to me because I've been forced to learn a lot about it.
Yeah.
I've asked permission that I can talk about it, but basically my mom had a heart attack in December, and it was a really scary thing for my mom, for me and all my family. Actually, it really scared us quite a lot, and she's okay. And oh, she's getting rehab, and
she should be listening in her leopard
print. She's probably listening right now, exactly. But it's meant that we've all had to kind of just like read a lot of information. The information you get is
so scary.
Unbelievable, and there are so many different types of, you know, heart diseases out there: cardiovascular, coronary heart disease, just so many.
And so many are hereditary, and so many aren't. My dad had 5 heart attacks and a cardiac arrest, and it wasn't the thing that killed him.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? But I found, and I don't know if you guys have found that, but there was so much information, and sometimes it felt a bit overwhelming, and what you should do, what you shouldn't do, how you should do it. And I think maybe what we want to share is what kind of we've found out, what maybe we can help you with, that you could be eating that could have an impact on your heart, and things that you might want to avoid that could have an impact on your heart. Because I know it made me really, really think as I became an adult about how everything I put in my mouth was going to affect not only my waistline, but my heart too, which is so important. You don't realise that when you're young, do you?
No. So here's the thing, right? The common sense check. The stuff that we're going to talk about, you know, we're using information from British Heart Foundation, from some of the Slimming World research, which they take from British Heart Foundation. But common sense check is, if you're concerned about any stuff to do with this, if you are on tablets, check with your doctor, ask your consultant for support. You know, the stuff that we talk about is really... it's our personal experiences. So that's a bit of a disclaimer there.
Yeah, we're not medics.
You know, we really yeah. aren't. And but the stuff that we are talking about, we have gone and found out some stats. So we hope that what we say is at least accurate.
Yeah.
According to the sources that we're quoting.
Yeah,
so the thing, like the number one killer is cardiovascular disease.
Scary, isn't it?
But the thing that I always thought until last month was, oh, you know, but that happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. And how that a lot of the things to do with slow progressive weight gain, the lifestyle choices, that actually this stuff kind of creeps up behind the scenes, but maybe we don't always spot the signs straight away, or our doctors don't know how to spot the signs, what's happening behind the scenes.
And it doesn't, because it doesn't happen necessarily rapidly. It's years of kind of what you've put in your body. You don't spot it as it's kind of building up, and you don't realise how easy just a few little changes could have such a massive impact on your heart. They really, really could. And actually, how some really tiny things can have such a big, profound impact on your heart. So I think what I discovered, because my dad first had a heart attack when I was 15, and he died when I was 35, 36. That, you know, how much research had changed, how much kind of food-related evidence had changed, and how things are really, really changeable. It's in your hands, you know. Even if you have got heart issues, there are things that you could do now to stop disease progressing. Mm-hmm. There are things, if it's hereditary, to stop them happening to you, like losing weight is such a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Such when you look at the risk factors... I mean, like weight is obviously, well, here we go. Look, poor diet, smoking, drinking, things that like high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, it all kind of piles in. Some of the things like genetics, you can't control that.
You really can't
control your lifestyle choices.
Yeah. But it's like for women, having a lot of fat around their middle puts more pressure on the heart, coats the organs with more fat, and that makes it higher risk. So looking at if you have got more weight that's held around the tummy, there's a certain inch measurement of your tummy, you're at more increased risk. So that's one of the reasons I decided I wanted to lose weight, because that's where I held all my weight.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was risking my heart even more. But again, things like, we all know about the drinking and the smoking, but I think a lot of us don't realise how much the saturated fats have such a big impact.
Yeah, like and the cholesterol. And then that's one of the things that we've had to kind of get our heads around as a family, is understanding cholesterol, really.
Yeah.
That, you know, for my mum, the cholesterol being high for a while, but it's understanding, well, where does that come from? And, you know, I've talked about this thing about going plant-based, and a big reason for that for me was about my health.
Mm.
And removing animal products has helped me cut back my cholesterol. But then, you know, there's cake and chocolate and stuff, which doesn't help. But I just, you know, the fact that there are around 7 million people living with heart disease in the UK. Now, not all of those people know that they even have heart
and
disease.
And that's the terrifying thing. A lot of people, like your mum, didn't know she had it until she had a heart attack.
No.
And you don't realise what's going on. It's almost like a ticking time bomb that just goes one way or another. And like your mum and my dad survived their heart attacks, but a lot of people don't know until they're too late. Yeah. You know, when my dad had his cardiac arrest, only 2% of cardiac arrest victims survive in hospital. Wow. It's that low. Do you know what I mean? So the fact that you're finding out that late, almost one of the reasons this is such an important thing is to discover before you get to that point where you have a heart attack or you have angina. So it's kind of looking at knowing the symptoms, but also knowing what you might be able to do today that could really have a big impact in your heart health.
What really surprised me is we discovered actually when we kind of went back that my mom is the third generation of women in her family to have a heart attack. And so that made me really think, and in fact the cardiac nurse said to me, you know, can you spot the trend here? And it made me think, well, 2 years ago when I had an extra 5 stone of weight on me and I was drinking, it just made me think, it gave me a new reason why.
Yes.
Because you know, we've done an episode, haven't we, YMCA?
Yeah.
And if you're at that point where you're kind of like just bumbling along a bit, really, and you're not quite, I don't know, you've lost your motivation as to why you're doing it, it's given me a new why on my YMCA. In fact, I've written on a post-it note, which is over there.
She loves a post-it.
And I put my why is to be the healthiest and fittest I can ever be. And one of my motivators is that, you know, I need to protect myself against what looks to be a genetic pattern and take responsibility for that. That maybe in 20 years' time, that could be me sat in my mum's position. And do I want that? And is there anything that I can do now to prevent it? And, you know, a big thing for my mum is that we've got a new baby in the family. Aww. And that's really exciting. And Ari has just had her first Christmas. And my mum wants to be able to freely go around and see and be a part of her granddaughter's life. Yeah. And so that's a why for her.
Exactly.
You know, why she needs to...
Yeah.
Be willing to do the rehab. You know, like the rehab involves fitness programs. It's a really good program on the NHS for Coventry. And also like understanding weight. So we started working together on more recipes. And what's a really great resource, actually, if you're curious about this stuff, the British Heart Foundation website, actually, you can type in, you've got recipes.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
What I found was interesting was it's very similar to the Slimming World plan.
Yeah.
I can see why Slimming World quotes British Heart Foundation a lot in their research.
I think the thing is that I've learned about heart health and heart healthy foods is that they are basic food optimized foods. Like, you know, things like berries are amazing, things like porridge, things like nuts, legumes. Did you know that eating lots of red, orange and yellow vegetables as well is really, really important for the heart? But something I learned, which really surprised me, and it's maybe ignorance, is that as you get older, your arteries naturally get harder and fur. That is a natural process, even if you're healthy. So if you are aging and adding in all these unhealthy things, I used to smoke 46 a day, drink 8-9 bottles of wine a week. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
All that, the chocolate, the crisps, the cake. I thank myself that I stopped early enough that it's not having a profound impact. But a lot of people don't realise how those things are risking you because of age, what that's going to do to your body as well. So yeah, I think what I have found through research from when Dad had his heart attacks and just generally wanting to be healthier is that it seems to be the kind of drip effect, all these unhealthy things that you keep layering on top of each other. And that's why becoming a healthy weight can reduce your risk of coronary heart disease massively. Just losing 10% of your weight if you're overweight is going to reduce that massively. So a really, really great thing to kind of even start.
You know, like that's one of the things when you join group and they talk about the Club 10. I mean, for me, I was like, oh, wicked, I get a free week if I keep this up for a few more weeks. That's all I was thinking. I wasn't, because I was so far away from my target. I was like, yeah, it's just another certificate. I'm not really bothered.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the impact of what Club 10 really means.
So what, just losing that 10% is taking pressure off your heart. It's taking pressure off your joints. It's lowering your blood cholesterol as well, because you'll naturally be eating healthier. But making those just small changes, have such a profound impact. Because imagine if you started off with a BMI of 40 and you lost 10%, that's going to bring your BMI much healthier, much closer to being healthier. So it's such a simple thing to do that could have a really big impact. Mm. And you get a free week if you're the same weight or lighter in 10 weeks. So I think it's a really lovely little kind of doable aim, isn't it?
Yeah. You know how like in Slimmer World we talk about like the plates of food where you have like a third speed.
And there's the heart healthy plates, aren't there?
Yeah, well, British Heart Foundation also have this thing which is worth Googling, like the Eat Well Guide.
Yes.
And it's got pictures.
I love a picture.
You love a picture. Look how colourful it is, right?
Yeah.
And it talks about like the balance of, you know, your treats, your fresh fruit and veg.
But look at those healthy carbs. Look at things like that that's on there. Like nothing's cut out.
It's very Slimming World.
Yeah.
You know, it really is whole wheat pasta, porridge, couscous, whole grain cereal, potatoes. Obviously, you know what fruit and veg is. But the other thing that I thought was really interesting about this is it talks about what 100 calories looks like.
The energy density.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Slim World's all about free food and not looking at portions, but I think it does kind of, it's making me think a little bit more savvy at the moment because I'm not eating meat. I'm thinking, well, what can I get out? Like 100 grams of potatoes versus 100 grams of butternut squash versus 100 grams of sweet potato, looking at the nutrients in that and how much you get. I mean, it's got like 100 calories of a sausage roll is titchy compared to 100 calories of broccoli where the plate is like almost overflowing.
It's crazy, isn't it? 100
the visuals
calories of chocolate compared to 100 grams of sweet potato. It's really thinking about that. Thinking about things that you might not necessarily be paying attention to. I was a massive salt fan. Mm. Like I literally would go through like a salt grinder a month. Like literally that's how much salt I added to my food. And that was because I've been a smoker for so long. My taste buds were affected. So really trying to find other ways to flavour my food that wasn't salt based really helped, because salt is a massive impact on your heart. Absolutely huge. And I don't know if our listeners know this, but 1 in 7 deaths in men is due to a heart disease, and 1 in 12 in women. That's astounding, isn't it?
Well, what really surprised me in this, and one of the reasons that we want to talk about this as a family, is the way that the heart attack came to my mom, and that the fact that men and women experience heart attacks differently. So my mom didn't have, as my brother tried to reenact in the hospital room, he was like, he thought a heart attack was like something that happened in a soap opera. Mm. You know, he like, and die on the floor. And it wasn't like that for my mom. Basically, she had a pain in her arm, and then she felt a pain in her face, and like...
Normally down the jaw?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she'd read somewhere that this could be a sign, and calling 999 before she called my brother,
clever lady,
was basically what saved her life.
Yeah.
So and then that, then we kind of, you know, realized with a bit more research that actually that is one of many ways that you can experience a heart attack.
My dad thought he had indigestion.
Indigestion.
He asked
someone
for a Rennie's, and then someone said, "No, Melvin, you're grey. You, I think you're having a heart attack," and called an ambulance, and he had had one of the biggest heart attacks. But a lot of people do think it's that
nausea.
Crushing pain. Yeah, nausea, sweating, being cold, stuff like that. And a lot of people don't recognise that. They also don't recognise that it can happen over a few hours, and it isn't this sudden thing that can just happen. And also you can have little heart attacks, you can have big heart attacks, can't you? So it is, I think knowledge is power. It's like when my dad had his stroke, he didn't lose any feeling, his mouth didn't drop. I was on the telephone when it happened, and he just kept repeating the same word. Mm. And that was all that had happened to him. So it is looking out for the little signs. And I used to have a little card in my purse that said about stroke and heart attack. I need to get another one, that were the really quick little things that you can check. Because again, it might not be you, but it might be someone that you're around that you think, hang on, you're not looking so well, and you're telling me you've got a pain down the side of your jaw in your left hand, and that's your heart going.
Well, so, to me, the signs of what my mom was describing to me described a stroke.
Yes.
So,
and
that's
very interlinked. Yeah, and I think they are very interlinked, aren't they, the stroke and the heart. And my dad had strokes because of the heart. Mm. So, yeah, I think knowledge is power, isn't it? And you now are so knowledgeable about it, you would be able to spot things. But a lot of people, if they haven't experienced this, just wouldn't know. They'd be like your brother. They think you've got to lie on the floor and be breathless and all of that, don't they? So I think it is a really important thing to recognise.
I suppose part of the reason that many of us are listening you know, or as discussed in this episode, is we're on the Slimmer World journey, yes, or we're losing weight right now. What we are doing is we're tuning in to the whispers before they become shouts. Yeah, really.
Ooh, I like that.
I stole that from someone else. I love a quote.
That is a quote and a half, Claire.
But the point is, when you stop like drinking really heavily, maybe you stop smoking, you start tasting again, you start noticing when you're feeling a bit run down, when you're feeling tired. And you know it's tired because, not because necessarily you haven't fueled yourself and you're exhausted and you're overweight. Yeah. Actually, it's because you're starting to get ill.
Yeah.
And you know, for my mum, she doesn't drink, she doesn't smoke. Yeah,
has she ever?
No.
Wow.
She's got a bit of weight to lose.
Yeah.
But you know, she's working on that with her rehab. There are the genetic signs there.
Stress is,
but fortunately for her, is that she knew in the run up in the weeks previous with high blood pressure that something wasn't right.
Yes.
And she knew, so she was already tuning into the whispers, and she was taking her own blood pressure. And so it's really interesting because I definitely know that I know when something isn't right in my body. Now I am definitely listening to that, and even just wearing something like a Fitbit or a Garmin watch or something like that, using the health app on your phone,
could really help you
help you kind of notice when things aren't quite right.
Yeah, I think
heart gives you signals, like when your heart rate raises. When I was really poorly over Christmas,
oh, God,
I had tonsillitis,
when you were sick and all of that,
my heart rate went from like resting of like 60 something to 80 something. And
your blood pressure does as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, I had it when I was very sick in October, and I just felt poorly. And then they did all the stats and they were like, you're really poorly, but you don't necessarily recognize it because a lot of us don't want to. A big, big change that I really looked at was stress, because I know that my dad's heart attacks came from being diabetic, but also stress levels, ridiculous stress levels. It has such a profound effect, mental health, but physical health. You've got to think your organs are reacting to what's happening in your body. And if you are living in a totally stressed kind of lifestyle, your cortisol hormone's going to be going up, your adrenaline's going to be spiking, and it has such a profound kind of impact. So really, really looking at, you know, how can you make sure you're managing your stress? Is it you're very into kind of like, what is it, mindfulness and like a bit meditation and all of that, you know, is it yoga, is it taking a walk, what is it that you kind of need to do so that you can manage your stress before it gets too big that it's blocking your coronary arteries, really.
Yeah,
really, really. My dad had a famous saying when he'd get very frustrated, you know, especially with road rage, he'd said, let it be their coronary arteries, not mine. Because he said, I used to take on everybody else's stress, and then I realised there's only so much one human can deal with. So I think that's a really important thing to recognise. Are you dealing with your stress effectively?
I think... Well, how much... Sometimes you kind of think, well, I have to work, I have to run my family, I have to manage my bills... my stress is high.
But we're not good with self-care. We're really not. And normally, when we are overweight, it is the biggest indicator that we are not great with self-care, physically and mentally. And what I've learned, and I think, you know, I'm in a almost privileged position because I've been so seriously ill and had a dad that was so seriously ill that it's made me very reflective and made me really understand. Sometimes everything else just has to pale into insignificance, and you have to concentrate on you, because there would be no bills to pay, there would be no family to look after if you're not here anymore. It's a really, really important thing to look at, because I think sometimes what we do is just get to emotional overload and physical overload, and then your body, you know, burns out. I had it. I would carry on working when I was so seriously ill that I would end up then having to take 6-8 weeks off. If I'd sat down when I had the first cold, I would have never got to that point.
Yeah.
So really, really recognizing it. But the thing that I'm trying to do is eat for my heart. I don't know if you've spotted a few changes that you can make since you've been plant-based, they're helping you. But I try and eat like oily fish a couple of times, 3 times a week. Really, really try and get things in, like porridge that we've just had, are really, really great for your heart. Do you know any others that you've been chucking in? I can see some up there.
I mean, even things like broccoli and red lentils, I've realised, are
massive,
absolute awesome. Yeah, yeah, almonds apparently are pretty good. You just got to make sure you weigh them. You don't get that many.
They've got something called selenium in them, which is really good for managing loads of different conditions, but walnuts as well. And you can take 5 half shout half walnuts as your healthy extra, if I remember rightly. Linseeds and flax seeds are also really good, which can be part of healthy extras. So there are things that you could do within food optimizing that may have a nice little impact. There is a great section on the members' website as well about heart health too and heart disease and things that you could do to help it. But I think above all, the thing that I really look at is that you've got change in your hand. Do you know what I mean? Even if you have got heart disease, you can do things that make sure that you won't have another heart attack. Do you know what I mean? You can do things that will reduce your cholesterol. So be excited that you can change it. Try not to be fearful of it, because do you know what I mean? If you're listening to this, this could be your little voice that says, come on, go and look after your heart. Go and think about, even if you could just walk the stairs a few more times a day, being more active. Because I think sometimes with exercise, we're either 1,000% in it or 1,000% on the sofa, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, like when, as a consultant,
yes,
when people come to you and say, I want to lose weight, I'm on medication for various tablets for heart disease, because, you know, it's like, it's going from like one tablet a day from mom to like seven, and you've got to take them at specific times and all
scary,
this. And you know, do you have to eat some before food, some after food?
Yeah.
And then to kind of think, okay, now I've got to get on plan as well. It can be quite
really
a lot.
Scary.
Like, I mean, what kind of advice do you have to give as a consultant?
Well, I think I'd just give it as a human being, which would be, don't try and do 1,000 things at one time. Let's think about sustainable change, because I think what a lot of people do when they're trying to lose weight and they're scared for their health is they try and go from a really maybe high fat, convenience food led diet to trying to be perfect and cutting everything out. And for a lot of people, that really doesn't work. So it isn't about sustainable change. I would really look at, okay, can I make small changes to begin with, like swapping to wholemeal bread from white bread? Can I swap to a one cal cooking spray and not cooking in fat anymore, but just not trying to go hell for leather and then breaking it in 2 weeks? Because I've tried that, and I think many people have tried it, and it doesn't work. So let the little changes mount up. Can you make sure you get some fruit and vegetables in your daily intake? Because I meet a lot of people that just don't eat fruit and don't eat veg. You know, a lot of people
Or they might just eat it for one meal rather than every, or
it might be that, you know, they've come from having a lot of convenience food, so it'd be mushy peas from the chippy, or it would be a frozen packet of veg from the supermarket that comes with a knob of garlic butter, you know, stuff like that. Making a tub of porridge oats that you just pour water in, that's got milk and sugar in. Can you make the small changes that are going to mount up and make achievable long-term changes? And if you can just look at kind of maybe changing a thing a week, that's what I would say, because I'm all about not adding the pressure. You know, if you come to a slimming group and you are overweight, it's taken you a while to get to that place.
Heck, if you had a heart attack recently and you come to lose weight, then geez.
Wow, amazing. You know, I remember my dad, when he had his first heart attack, he was told to cut out cheese, and cheese was his absolute thing. And so we went from eating blocks of cheese to no cheese. And I remember finding him at 3 o'clock in the morning in the fridge, just gnawing on a block of cheese. He was like, I can't do it. Because he's had the withdrawal. So actually, could it be about cutting down your cheese? Could it be about going to a lower fat version? Because otherwise you're not going to be able to sustain it. And, you know, talk to people, talk to your consultant, talk to your doctor, talk to the British Heart Foundation. There are so many resources out there. Get into, like, local community groups. That, I remember when Dad had a stroke, there were lots of little hubs for stroke victims. There'll be little hubs for people who've had heart attacks. I know with me and my illness, we've got Facebook, we've got all sorts of things that we connect with, so you don't feel on your own with it.
Yeah, that's true. Or overwhelmed, I think, is exactly what you're saying, really.
It's terrifying, isn't it? When you've had...
Well, fear that it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I'm quite blasé about my health and how sick I've been, because it's just normal to me. But if you've never been sick before, like, you'd never experience like something like that in your family. It's terrifying, isn't it? And I think sometimes then you think, we've got to fully change everything. Allow yourself to take stock. Allow yourself that emotion afterwards as well, because it's terrifying, isn't it? Mm. You must see your whole life flash before you. So, you know, try and make little bite-sized changes, I would say.
Interesting as well, like, you know, last week we talked about mind the language and behavior and mindset, and one of the things that kind of kept coming up on like all the information stuff, typically after a heart attack can be depression.
Massive.
Can come out, because I guess there's that drop in whatever
serotonin and all of that. But also I think there's a fear that comes when your heart is like the main organ of your body with your brain, isn't it? And there was a study that linked major heart attacks with like almost a feel of heartbreak and depression and anxiety. I think for a couple of reasons. your normity of what's just happened to you and how it is normally a near-death experience, the fear of what's my life going to be like now, also looking at how the hormone levels have changed. So I think allowing and expecting that to happen, but there are resources and support for that, most definitely.
Well, like I say, the rehab that my mum has had, you know, she's
good?
On an 8-week fitness program. She's out bashing, like, she's rowing, she's on the treadmill, she goes a couple of times a week, and I've been with her to some of those appointments, and it's been really interesting, the information that they've given us and how helpful people have been, because like you say, there's a lot to take in. So we've kind of been learning a lot of that stuff together, and even basic things like the British Heart Foundation recommends keeping a food diary. And you were talking as well, I think in a couple of episodes ago, about like looking at what your mood is at the time. So how are you feeling when you were eating that, which I guess is where, like, for us doing Slimming Worlds, following the food diary helps with kind of managing, measuring, logging the idea that the space is smaller in your sin box of your food diary than it is, say, for your speed food. And so I've come back, I'm on like a 10-week powwow to Easter at the moment, and I've gone back to doing food diaries every week for 10 weeks because
I'm back on mine.
I just needed to kind of get back and
it's
focus
so
and really see what am I having. Am I doing Claire's World or am I doing Slimming World, you know, typically?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting when you're looking at your heart health, looking at how much of it is subconscious, what you're eating and you don't realise you're putting in your body that could be affecting your heart. And if you think about those things like the salt, the fat, could you make some swaps, and could it just be going and putting something like chives in your dinner instead of salt? That could be a little change. Could it be about getting some more blueberries in because they're really great for your health? Could it be swapping your healthy extras as some walnuts or some almonds? You know, those little things that you could do that you might not spot. I think it's really achievable to change your heart health and lower your cholesterol. I've had people that have come off diabetes medication. I had a lady, I have asked her if I can share this, who joined 4 weeks ago, and her blood sugars were like in their 20s, and now since food optimizing they're down to like 5 and 6.
What's the normal person's?
Four to seven. Yeah.
Wow.
So the fact, you know, when you're walking around with blood sugars that high, your arteries are furring up. You are very liable to throw up a blood clot because your blood pressure is going to be high. So just food optimizing has made those massive changes. So I think it's a really important thing to recognize. You can absolutely change it up very quickly.
It's opened my eyes, the whole of this process, because I do remember, like, when I was at my biggest, just like the crashes in blood sugar and feeling like sometimes I would just have to like sit on the curb on the edge of the road and go to the nearest shop and just buy, you know, a bar of chocolate and a full fat can of Coke because I needed something then. And I know, looking back now, that I was probably like getting to pre-diabetic at
very
that stage
easily.
Because I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's scary now knowing what I know about this, you know, the three generations thing in my family.
It's huge.
It's kind of like, well,
you're reversing that, Claire. That's exciting.
I'm reversing that, but, you know, it's been quite open that, you know, whilst I talk about my journey more as a member and you kind of have a foot in, a bit in both, don't you? Like, the last 6 months have just been a real struggle for me that I've just not really felt like I've moved forwards. I've kept going. I've gone to group every
life.
Week. Yeah.
Like, sometimes you have to cut yourself. The thing I've learned is you can't be brilliant at everything. I wanted to be this amazing. Yeah. I wanted to be this amazing mum, consultant, wife, friend, everything, while having the most immaculate hair and nails. It's like, Anna, cut yourself some blinking slack.
She says wearing my pink fleece with little ears.
But I think it's that thing, again, with weight loss and all of that, we think you've got to be perfect. You can't be perfect.
No, but now I recognise, now that things have calmed down, I can be at home a little bit more. I can start to really take responsibility of
you've
this.
You've got a pantry now.
I know.
I mean,
I'm so grown up.
You
say pantry, what it means is just a little hole under my stairs where I've made some shelves.
You should get like a sign that says Claire's pantry over the top. I think we need that. But
it's about taking responsibility. I've got a reason now that I need to take responsibility for my health. The signs have pointed out to me, the whispers have been there. And do I ignore those, or do I actually tune in and I really do something about this, and I educate myself and I move forwards to form better habits?
Yeah, because I think, you know, I'm in a position with my health. I have a 75% increased chance of having bowel cancer in the next 5 years because of my illness. that is something I can't control. I can't do anything about. But I know that if I become diabetic like my dad did, I'm then adding on the risk of having a heart attack, a stroke and all of that. So I have to look after my health because I've got every bloody genetic thing. Oh, did I just swear? Every genetic thing. Pulling on me. And I think it's knowing there are some things you can't control, but there are so many things that you can. So I'm in a bid to kind of just not overface myself, but do things that I can sustain. You know, I used to be that girl that would be like, want 12 stone off in 14 seconds, and I think that I should be going to the gym 7 times a week. Actually, Anna, can you lose 2 pounds a week and can you go for 3 walks? Actually, yeah. I can do that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes recognize, are you trying to do too much and you're not going to do any of it, because then you feel like you failed. And we've done episodes about this, haven't we, where you look at things that you can't achieve. And I think going back to the heart health, what can you do today? You know, we just had a great cracking heart health breakfast, haven't we?
We did.
Really good breakfast.
Actually, even if you go on the website and you read something about Heart Health Month on British Heart Foundation or Slimming World website, just go and know what the signs are. I mean, essentially, we all know we should be having 5 pieces of fruit and veg a day.
Yeah.
We should be moving more and we probably shouldn't be overweight. It's not rocket science.
Alcohol, yeah. Alcohol's such a big one. Now,
smoking.
Yeah, we don't sit here as virtuous non-alcohol drinkers. We've both done it out of choice. But I think what I realised is if I'd carried on drinking in the way I used to binge drink, God, my heart would have been in such a state. My liver would have been. And you know what really indicated that to me? The hangovers were so severe.
Yeah.
It was wrecking my body. You know, when you're trying to recover from the weekend on Friday night the following week, you know it's got to end soon, don't you?
What really surprises me about like heart health is that stuff like heart disease is classless, it's genderless. You know, it's not based on how much you earn or what job you do. Actually, it can affect anybody at any stage. And what was interesting, I think, was my mum was in hospital just kind of walking through the wards and generally observing who was in the wards. You could absolutely hear all the smokers' coughs. There was no doubt about that. And there were some very poorly people there. But there was just the different faces and ages in there really made me think that we've all got to take responsibility for this, and it really could happen to anyone.
My friend had a heart attack at
29.
He was a, you know, recreational drug user, drinker, all of that. 29.
Wow.
I mean, he survived, but 29. It's no age, is it?
No.
It really isn't.
You talk about taking responsibility.
Yeah, we know statistically that certain parts of the country have higher risk of heart disease than others. So some parts of Scotland have much higher risks than, say, right down south on the coast is one of the lower risks. Manchester, where we are, is pretty high risk for heart disease.
Really?
So, yeah. And it's very interesting on the National Statistics website, you can look at your area and what kind of is your health issue in your area. It's very, very fascinating. And it can be very much on what is a regional-based food, what the economic status is. So if there's more smokers and stuff like that. It's very interesting to kind of look at what you may not realise you're kind of facing before you've even woken up in the morning, but things that you could go and change. So is it that you have always driven to work? Could you walk, you know, park the car a little bit further away? Would that have an impact on your heart health? Do you always get a chippy takeaway and work it in your sins? Actually, could you send your sins in a different way that aren't going to affect your health? Because this is so much bigger than weight loss, isn't it? So much bigger.
I love a chippy. You've made me think of that. I made pizza on a wrap with chips, because pizza and chips were always one of my favourite things to have. And so, yeah, I made my pizza wrap with my cheese that was measured, a ton of veg on top with some like barbecue jackfruit on top. And my chips and my Slimming World chips. And actually, that's
lovely.
I don't feel like I'm missing out.
No, and that's the whole point. But you don't have to with Slimming World, do you? You really, really don't. You can absolutely go and eat all that beautiful food you love. I had steak, chips, broccoli, green beans and asparagus with onions last night for dinner, all on plan. It was so beautiful.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's it's not been the most romantic Valentine's Day dinner, I'm afraid. We got to be quite... I mean... If this was a date, a Valentine's Day,
I'd be coming back for number two.
Number two. with the oats. That'll help with your fibre, won't it?
Very important, that fibre for overall.
Said the woman at risk of her bowel cancer.
Oh, don't.
We have to laugh, don't we?
Do you know what? If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Well, I know, I was about to say that.
Yeah, you really will. And that's why I always try and find the positive out of what's been really difficult situations for us both with our families.
We've been given warning signs.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, parents.
Yeah, and I think, you know, your mum is so super lucky. When my dad was dying, he just said, don't dig your grave with a spoon like I did.
Yeah.
And that's really rung true in my head, because everything he died of was avoidable if he hadn't have been overweight and had all his blood sugar problems and diabetes. And, you know, he ended up losing his legs and everything because of it. So, you know, it's in your hands, guys.
It is.
It really is.
Well, next week we're doing listeners' questions.
Ooh,
it's our February listeners' questions, and we know that so many of you are, you know, perhaps you've rejoined at the start of this year. Are you hitting any walls? Is there subjects or things that you want us to go and look into for you and delve a bit deeper? You know, we're certainly happy to kind of share with you some of the ideas or things that have helped us and pointers of where you might be able to get more information. So two ways that you can do that: you can follow us on Instagram and send us a message there. It's at Slimming World Podcast. You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Just a note that we can't always reply to you all, but we do read them. And often what we do is we kind of look for themes, which helps us decide for future episodes as well. So keep your comments coming in. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow. If you haven't already done that, just do it right now. Just press that button, because that means that you help us reach more people who actually might be following the Slimming World plan from afar and might need a little bit more help. And it means that the more of you that follow us means that we send those ripples out to reach those people who, like you, actually might just need an extra bit of mojo now and again, some positivity in your ears to think of a different perspective, to get out your bubble that we all get ourselves into when we're losing weight. We often focus on the numbers. We just get caught in our own cycle, don't we? And help you think big perspective.
Yeah, and know that you're not on your own. This is meant to be fun, not horrible. You know what I mean? It's not meant to be a chore, losing weight. It's not meant to be an experience that you hate. We want to bring a bit of love, joy, and kind of, you know,
weirdness.
Yeah, but what you're doing is brilliant, even attempting it. That's what I think.
Exactly. Even if there are the doubters.
Yes, exactly. We won't be your doubters.
No,
we'll be your little raiders. Yeah, your little cheerleaders in your pockets.
So we hope to speak with you in the next few days, and we'll be doing lives and all that stuff on Instagram. So pop on and see us. You get to see our faces there, and I'll even put a picture of our beautiful heart porridge breakfast on there for you. Have a great week. Enjoy your food. Have a lot of fun. Keep being heart healthy, and in the spirit of Heart Health Month, we love you, ma'am.
We love you, ma'am. Bye for now.